It's great to be with you again this morning. I'd like to ask a question. How many of you know that CBC is in a missionary convention? Raise your hand. Well, where were the other 40% of you last night? We would like to extend an invitation for you to be here this evening in the service and enjoy the missionary convention with us. Now, I thought this morning, just to get better acquainted with you and you to get better acquainted with me, I'd make a few preliminary remarks and tell you something about myself. A lot of people, when they look at me and hear me speak, the first thing they think, especially when they find out that I'm from Brazil, is, well, he must be a Brazilian, or he must be Spanish, or Latin, or Italian, or something like that. Now, let me assure you that if I were Spanish or Brazilian, I would not be embarrassed about it. I'd be very proud. But it so happens that when you hear me preach, you're just listening and looking at an old Scandinavian. My father was born in Sweden. My mother was born in Norway. How I turn out dark like this, I don't know how to explain. I guess you'll just have to call me a smoked Scandinavian. I think I'm dark like this for having spent so many years in Brazil. Believe it or not, when I was a little boy, about 4 and 5 years old, I was blonde. But then after I went to Brazil at the age of eight and grew up there in that country, I guess it's the sun and the environment and everything that made me turn out quite dark. And now I have problems and trouble trying to convince them that I'm an American or a Scandinavian. Every time I get ready to come home to the United States and get my documents in order, and I go into those offices, the first thing they ask me is, "What is your nationality?" And I say, "North American." And they look at me in disbelief as if to say, "Who are you trying to kid?" And I have a hard time convincing them because of having been raised there and spending 24 years of my life in Brazil, I believe I've adapted myself quite well to that country, to their language, and to their environment. And so I just thought I'd mention this to you, and I'm very proud of having a Scandinavian background, very proud of being born in the United States, and very been proud of having been raised in the country of Brazil. I went to Brazil the first time when I was 8 years old, spent almost 11 years there, came home to CBC, pastored in California, and went back to Brazil with my family 14 years ago. So this is my life. This is what I have been doing all my life, engaged in missions and evangelism. And so during the services tonight, tomorrow, I'll be telling you more about the country of Brazil and about our ministry in that country. Now, our time is very, very limited this morning, and I do have a message from the Word of God that I want to bring to your hearts this morning. I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to the last chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, and we're going to read Matthew's version of the Great Commission. And after I'm through reading, I'm going to explain to you why I refer to this as Matthew's version of the Great Commission. We're going to begin reading from verse 16 to the end of the chapter, which is verse 20. If you have your Bibles, follow the reading of the word with me. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen." Will you bow your heads, please, in a word of prayer with us? Heavenly Father, today we consider it a privilege to minister again the divine word, and to have the privilege of breaking this word and feeding it to these thy choicest young people. We pray that we may have the ability to lift thee up where thou wilt be exalted, O God, and where the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ may come into plain view through the eyes of the Spirit to everyone that is in this service today. And may thy Holy Spirit have the liberty and the freedom to move upon the soil of our minds and of our hearts. And we will be careful to give thee all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have just finished reading Matthew's version of the Great Commission. Now, the reason I refer to this as Matthew's version is that in the New Testament, we find five different versions of the universal commission or of the great commission as it was given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At the end of each of the four Gospels, and for the fifth time in the first chapter of the book of Acts, we find five separate occasions where the Master gave to his disciples the command, saying, "Go ye, go ye, go ye." We do not engage in missions and in evangelism only because we want to or like to or choose to, although these be good reasons. But the main reason why we engage in missions and evangelism is we have been ordered to by the Master Jesus Christ. And any unconcern, any indifference, any lack of interest, and any stay-at-home attitude on your part or my part is willful and premeditated disobedience against the command of the risen Lord of glory. Now, when Matthew wrote about this occasion, approximately 1 week had gone by since the first Easter day. We know this to be a fact because the disciples had had the time to travel from Jerusalem up to Galilee and settle there. And then by appointment, they met the Lord Jesus Christ on the mountain. This could very well be the occasion which the Apostle Paul later wrote about, that Jesus was seen by a company of more than 500 of the brethren at one time. Now, when Jesus met this company of believers there on the hillside in Galilee, three important things took place. Number one, he made an announcement. Number two, he issued a command. And number three, he gave them a promise. I want us to observe these three things quite closely this morning. Number one, notice with me the announcement that Jesus made. In verse 18, we read this, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Without this statement of his divine authority, the Great Commission would have lacked justification, let alone impetus. It is important that you notice that this affirmation of his divine authority preceded his Great Commission to the nations of the world. And as I stated, without this statement of authority, his commission would have lacked justification, let alone impetus. Let me declare unto you this morning, with all the strength of God that is within my soul, that we will never reach our world for Christ, and we will never conquer the nations of the world until we acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives and over the nations of this world. Many people come to me often in missionary convention, in missionary services, in missionary rallies, and they say, "Brother Johnson, I want to do something for God. I'm sincere in my Christian experience. I feel a desire to witness, but at the last moment something happens and I withdraw myself. I don't have the liberty to witness as so-and-so has. Now, Brother Johnson, I would like to do something for God, but something holds me back." Brethren, no man is ever going to evangelize. No man is ever going to actively engage in the work of the kingdom of God until he bows in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledges the absolute lordship of Jesus Christ over his life, where he empties himself of all his dreams, of all the castles he has built, of all the plans that he has made, and tears down all the idols that he worships, and says, "Lord, I establish you as the monarch, as the king, as the Lord of my life." Only then, and then alone, will a man be in the condition to surrender himself to the call of God and to obey the command of the risen Lord of glory. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ informed us where his authority was extended to. He said, "I have all power and all authority in heaven and in earth." In other words, he rules upstairs in heaven, and he rules down here upon the face of this earth. If Jesus rules upon the earth, then he rules over the lives of men. He rules over your life, and he rules over my life. He is the king. He is the Lord. He is the master. He is the boss. We are the men in the field. We are the soldiers of the ranks. We are the people that are going to get the job done and reap the harvest. But he is the one that commands, that orders, that disposes, that deploys his forces and his men as he chooses. He has the right to tell a Paul Pipkin to go to the Philippines. He has the right to tell a Bill Lovick to go to Africa. He has the right to tell a Bernard Johnson to go to Brazil and South America. But he also has the right to tell you what you must do in your life and direct your life towards the work of the kingdom. He has the power to bid us to go or the power to bid us to stay. Whether he tells us to go or whether he tells us to stay, we must be obedient to his command, to his orders, because he is the Lord over the lives of his people. But he is not only the Lord over the lives of men, but if his power and authority is over the nations of this earth, then he is also Lord over the nations to whom he sends us. Now Satan had usurped this authority. And you remember that when the devil came to Jesus in the wilderness, one of the temptations that he presented to Jesus was this. He said, if thou art the Son of God, kneel down before me, and I will give to thee the nations of this world and the glory thereof. But three times there in the wilderness, Jesus bruised the serpent's head by the power of the word of God. And then 3.5 years later, when the Lord Jesus Christ hung between heaven and earth, and at the 9th hour of the day, cried out, it is finished. The sky darkened, the lightning struck, the thunder roared, the earth shook, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. The centurion soldier that stood there at the foot of the cross declared, truly this man is the Son of God. And at that moment, Jesus descended into hell. He wrestled with Satan in mortal combat. He took from the enemy the keys of death and of hell and of the nations of this world, and arose on the 3rd day, and then went up to Galilee to meet this company of believers and made this wonderful pronouncement. All power and all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. The Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of the nations of this world. My country of Brazil today is known in the world as the country that saved itself. In 1964, we were being overrun by communism. We had a communist president. We had a strong communistic Congress, strongly influenced by Red China. In fact, the Red Chinese were so powerful in Brazil that there was Red Chinese money already circulating on the market. It was just a matter of days for a final Red Chinese and Cuban takeover, when suddenly the whole tide changed. The military rose up in arms, the people rose up in arms, and in 24 hours, the situation changed. And the newspaper reporters, the television announcers, and all the great magazines and papers of this world came out with the headlines, Brazil, the country that saved itself. But we who were there and knew what had gone on, we know that a country can never save itself. Only God can save a country. It is God that raiseth a nation to power, and it is God that bringeth a nation to the dust. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that placeth man in government. And when man doth not fulfill his divine purpose and his divine will, God will bring that man to the dust and to the grave if necessary be, because the Lord Jesus Christ is in full command of the world situation. His religion is not a Jewish religion. It is not a Palestinian religion. It is not an Asiatic religion, let alone Western or American. But Christianity is worldwide. It is universal. It embraces every race, every rank, every color, every language, every nationality, and every race of the world. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He is the Lord over Red China. He is the Lord over Russia. He is the Lord over the neutral countries of Sweden, Norway, Switzerland, Portugal. He is the Lord of my Brazil, of Argentina, of Chile. He is the Lord of Venezuela. He is the Lord of Canada, Mexico. And he is the Lord over the United States of America, because he is the universal Lord over the nations of this world. And brother, when you behold the King Jesus Christ in all his lordship and glory, and realize that he has commanded us as King of the nations to go forth and evangelize these nations, then you're going to get on the ball and do something for the kingdom of God. But then Jesus went on to state that his authority went beyond this. He said that all authority and all power was also given to him in heaven. He's the boss up there too. That's why every soul that we win for the Lord down here is readily accepted up there, because he is the boss upstairs. He not only rules and reigns around the throne of his Father, but he rules and reigns where principalities and powers wage war. He is the Lord of all heavens. The Father has placed, as the scripture says, all things under his feet. His power is over the nations. His power is over the heavens. His power is over hell. His power is over the church. And his power extends itself over all humanity. Jesus is Lord of all. The fundamental basis for all missionary enterprise and evangelism is found in this universal authority of Jesus Christ. If his authority were only here on earth, he would be nothing more than just another Jewish prophet or some kind of a so-called divine incarnation like Buddha, Confucius, or Mohammed the prophet of Islam. If his authority were only in heaven, then we would lack the power here on earth that changed men from darkness to light and from Satan unto God. But only because Jesus Christ is Lord of all and has all power in heaven and on earth, do we dare go out to the nations of the world and seek to conquer them for our God. It must have seemed ridiculous when this Jesus gathered a handful of Palestinian peasants and ordered them to go out and conquer the world of their day. But they did, by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They shook the world of their day inside 60 years. And that is why I believe that if we can behold the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory and realize that he is Lord over the nations of this world, then we can have a vision and an excitement and an adventurous spirit that will drive us out to the highways and byways and lead us to the lost souls of this world, that we may win them for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to take a look at the second thing that happened. After he made his announcement of authority, then he issued the command. And the command is found in verse 19 and part of verse 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Trinity and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, friends, we go because we are under his divine authority. And we go because the nations of this world are also under his authority. This imperative, go ye, follows his announcement of authority. We go because he is Lord over the nations. Therefore, we can go in the power and in his strength towards the nations of this world. Now, it's important to notice this morning that this Gospel of Matthew had its beginning when a group of Gentile strangers, known as the wise men, came to worship the child Jesus. And then this same gospel has its ending when the child grown man sends his disciples out to conquer and win the Gentile world for him. Now, when Jesus spoke of evangelism and missions and how to perform the task, he gave three steps for success. And we find these three steps right before our eyes this morning. Jesus said, first of all, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, young people, you're going to make disciples of whom you preach about. If you go out and preach Mary Eddie Baker, you're going to make disciples for Mary Eddie Baker. If you go out and preach Joseph Smith, you're going to make disciples for Joseph Smith. If you go out and preach Buddha, you're going to make disciples for Buddha. If you go out and preach the assemblies of God, you're going to make disciples for the assemblies of God. But if you go out and preach the name of Jesus Christ, you're going to make disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not sent out primarily to secure the allegiance of men to a church system or to a certain pattern of ethical behavior or theology, but we are sent out primarily to make disciples for the Master and the Lord Jesus Christ. Theology, patterns of behavior, ethics, and all these things follow the preaching of Jesus Christ. And this is where a lot of denominational missionaries are falling short in their message today. How many times I've had some Baptists and Presbyterians and Methodists come up to me on the field and they say, Brother Johnson, how come we're not reaching the masses like the Assemblies of God is? How come we're not keeping the results as the Assemblies of God is? I believe there is only one answer. We are not only preaching a denomination, we are not only setting forth a certain pattern of ethical behavior, but in Brazil and around the world, the Assemblies of God is preaching Jesus Christ and making disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he gave a second step. He said, after you make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Trinity, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Discipleship with Christ involves water baptism. I don't believe, and I say this with all the conviction of my heart, that we are stressing water baptism in America and around the world as we should. Although the Lord Jesus Christ very strongly emphasized it in the commission. He said, be sure to baptize them in the name of the Trinity. Now, why is it important to baptize them in the name of the Trinity? When men are saved and brought in as converts, they must seek a relationship with the Father and with the Spirit also. Because you cannot separate the Son from the Father, and you cannot separate the Spirit from the Son. All three are one, and the converts must come in relationship with the Trinity. And when a man is baptized in water, he passes from private discipleship to public discipleship. Letting his community, letting his relatives, letting his friends know that he is taking a public stand for a work that has been done in his soul and his heart by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then the third step Jesus gave in successful evangelism and missions was this. He said, after you make disciples for Christ, and after you baptize them in water, then teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The command of the Lord Jesus Christ is only fulfilled when men are taught the Word of God. I don't care what kind of a mass evangelism program you may have. I don't care how extended your radio ministry or television ministry may be. I don't care what kind of a literature program you promote when you go into a city. Unless you seek converts, and unless you do a follow-up work that will bring men into the church where they can be taught the Word of God and mature in the Christian faith, your program is a failure. Jesus said, teach them all things. What does this mean? It means to believe it, to start in Genesis and to end up in Revelation. It means to give them the Pentateuch, to give them the historical books, to preach the prophets to them, the gospel, the Acts of the Apostles, the epistles, and the Revelation of John. We are to give unto them the whole Word of God. Now, many programs are failing in the world today. They can gather 50,000 people and sometimes 100,000 people, and they even get the masses to raise their hands. But we cannot look at these results, because true results are always counted later, after men have had an opportunity to be baptized in water and brought into church membership and mature in the Christian faith. We must seek to teach men the Word of God. This is why I believe the Assemblies of God has the greatest missionary program going in the world today. We have our good news crusades. We have our evangelistic outreaches. We have our preaching missions. But we also establish churches. We establish Bible schools. We establish training centers where men can come in and grow and mature in the Word of God, and in turn learn to go out and win others for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus said that the command is only fulfilled when they are preached him, when they are baptized in water, and when they are taught the whole word of God. And now I want you to look at the third point, the promise that Jesus gave. First of all, he made the announcement of authority. Second, he issued the universal commission, go ye. And thirdly, he gave them the promise. And what was the promise that Jesus gave to his church? We find it in the last part of verse 20. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. Thus, the promise regarding Emmanuel in the first chapter of Matthew is repeated and fulfilled in the closing chapter. You remember in the first chapter of Matthew, the angel came to Joseph and said, son, fear not to take Mary as your legal wife, because that which is in her and in her womb is of the Holy Spirit. And the name of the child shall be Emmanuel, which meaneth God with us. And now Emmanuel himself, when giving the commission and closing this gospel, he makes the following statement. And I, Emmanuel, shall be with you always, even until the ends of the earth. Thus his promise is fulfilled in the closing part of this gospel. Now Christ had promised to be with his disciples before when they met in his name. If you look there in Matthew, the 18th chapter, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. But now he promised to be with them when they go in his name. It is not only when we meet together in a prayer service, in a chapel service, in a CMF service, or in some activity in our local church that Jesus is with us. It's not only when we meet for WMC, or when we meet for CAs, or when we meet for missions emphasis that Jesus is with us. But now the Lord Jesus Christ promised to accompany the believers and to be present with them when they go forth in his name. Hallelujah. Oh, what a wonderful truth. Oh, what a wonderful blessing. This is what causes an impact in the life of a man that is out in Africa, that is out in the heart of South America, or in the heart of Asia, to know that the Lord Jesus Christ, who sent him there, accompanies him and is present with him at all times. The Lord Jesus Christ is sending forth his church today. And I doubt that a stay-at-home church, I doubt that an indifferent church, I doubt that an unconcerned church, I doubt that a church that lacks interest in evangelism and missions can fully inherit the fullness of this promise. But to those that go for Jesus, he said, I will accompany them. There are many ways of going for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can go in prayer. You can go in your giving. You can invest in the salvation of souls that are 10 or 15,000 miles away from you. You can go by being active in your local church, in your college program. There are many ways of going for Jesus Christ. But the important thing of all is to engage in some type of ministry and evangelism that will make you go for God. And Jesus said, if you will go, I will accompany you in safety and in peril, in freedom and in restriction, at peace and at war, in health and in sickness, even until the ends of the earth. Thus his promise spans the whole gospel age, from his tomb unto his return and throughout all eternity. If you do not remember anything else that was said this morning, I want you to remember this. Looking back at this commission of Jesus Christ in Matthew 28, we are struck by the repetition of the word all. I want you to see the totality. I want you to see the completeness. I want you to see the fullness of the Lord's program and of the church engagement in evangelism. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Go and make disciples of all nations. Teach them all things that I have given unto you. And lo, I'm with you all the days. Have you ever found anything more complete? Have you ever found anything more total? Is there any program? Is there any company? Is there any activity? Is there any religion that can present to you and offer to you a program so total and so complete? Jesus said, I have all power. Go and preach and make disciples of all nations. Declare all my teachings, and lo, I'm with you all the days. It is the greatest program upon the face of the earth. It is the greatest revolutionary force upon the face of the earth. And the Church of Jesus Christ is marching forward in the world today because it has the promise of his being with us, and he has given to us his divine command. And not only has he given us the command, and not only has he given us the promise to accompany us, but he has placed the force, the potential, the equipment, the methods, and the power in our hands. He has given us Moses' rod. He has given us Jacob's ladder. He has given us David's sling. He has given us the bloodstained banner. He has given us the empty tomb. He has given us the upper room. And he has given us the word of God and ordered us to march on. And in Matthew 16:18, he said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against my church." Young people, you can go into medicine. You can go into engineering. You can go into the professional world and engage your whole life in some activity like this. But there is no greater call, and there is no greater profession, and there is no greater work than to be active in the Church of Jesus Christ that gives to you and offers to you the most complete, the most total, and the most full program in all this world. His work is everything, and he is Lord of all. Will you stand with me at this time, please? I need someone at the organ and someone at the piano. And I want you to sing this morning a song that is very familiar to you. And as we close this chapel this morning, I want you to pledge your allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ, to his divine announcement, to his divine commission, and to his divine promise. He said, "All authority is mine. Go and make disciples of all nations, and lo, I'm with you all the days, even until the ends of the earth."